First Thessalonians chapter number 5 obviously is the first letter that the great apostle Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica. And he's concluding this letter and giving them some instruction. We'll pick up our reading in verse number 14. He says this, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Now, what I'm about ready to read is not optional for a believer. These are commands from God. Rejoice evermore. Can I say that means in the good days and in the bad days? Because you are faring better than you deserve, and you're not going to hell. You have something to rejoice over. Pray without ceasing. That means to be a constant participant in prayer and always have the attitude of prayer. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Again, the good and the bad. I've heard Brother Tony on many occasions says, God says thank you for everything, so he would thank you when he had to have surgeries and go through some hard times. And everything gives thanks. Again, we're reaping better than we sow. Quench not the Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost in your life. Let him have his way in your heart and in your life. Despise not prophesying. Don't despise preaching. Whatever preaching you hear, do it. Don't despise it. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. John wrote to try the spirits, whether they be of God. We're to prove things through the Scriptures. And you're to cling and hold to those things that are right and that are good. Abstain from just anything. No, from all appearance of evil. If it looks evil, run from it. If it looks ungodly, run from it. If anything can be said wrong of you for doing it, run from it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace, the peace that Brother Seth just talked about, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful testimonies. Thank you for folks bragging about the goodness of God and how you've impacted their lives. And God, we're thankful, Lord, in this season of thanksgiving, to bow this unworthy head and thank you for being such a good God. God, we thank you for the good singing, good time of fellowship before the service. Thank you for the Word of God. It does pump us up. It enlightens our mind and it challenges our hearts to seek after Thee and to live godly, soberly, justly in this wicked world that we live in. And God, thank you that we can assemble tonight with our church family on this Thanksgiving Eve and worship you in spirit and truth. Now, Father, we pray you'd be glorified and magnified above all things. We pray you'd use this unworthy vessel. Help me to say everything you'd have me to say. And God, and help me not say anything contrary to the word or will of God. And God, we certainly pray, if there be any amongst us unsaved, tonight be the night of their salvation. We pray, Father, for those that are saved, you'd bless them abundantly. Now, Father, get glory again to your glorious name. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In this chapter, and really throughout all the epistles that Paul wrote to churches, he's exhorting Christians on their conduct. Now, notice in this chapter what he exhorts Christians to do. First of all, he is exhorting Christians concerning awareness. Look in verse number 1. He said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." In chapter 4, he concluded that chapter speaking on the rapture, the catching away of the saints. And here he's talking about our awareness. He says, you know the seasons and the time. And friend, you'd have to be missing a screw in your noggin to look around this whole wicked world and realize we're not living in the last of the last days. I mean, Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And you and I should be aware of the fact and try to do everything we can to keep people from dying and going to hell. So he deals and exhorts Christians concerning awareness. He also speaks to Christians concerning being awake. Look in verse number 5. He says this, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. He is exhorting us to be awake, to be alert, to let folks know and to warn them about the Lord's coming. We shouldn't fall back into darkness. We shouldn't seek after the wickedness of this world. We are of the light, and we should walk in the light, and he is exhorting us to do so. So we see that he deals with being aware, he deals with being awake, but he also is exhorting Christians concerning being appointed. Look at verse number 8. He says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Look at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. He has appointed us to comfort one another, to edify one another, to encourage one another, so much more as we see the day approaching, the Lord coming. So we have that appointment. We're not appointed unto wrath. We're appointed unto love. And so he is given that exhortation. But then he also exhorts Christians concerning authority. Look in verse number 12. He says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. He's dealing with those who are over us, who labor among us, and he admonishes us to esteem them highly for their work's sake. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the man of God. And he is dealing with authority. Brother Peter, you may not believe this, but people have a problem with authority. Now, I know you work up there at GE, a little small little place up there. And I imagine everybody in there loves the bosses and loves everybody that hands down things for y'all to do. And you just snap your heels and say, we're so glad to have a job, and we're going to do everything the boss man says. And that happens everywhere. All of you work, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing, people that, Brother Ray, don't have anything invested in the company, but yet they know how to run it better than those that have labor to get that thing where it's at. It's always been that way. People have problems with authority. Our government has even exhorted citizens to rise up against the authority of the police. I was always taught if you got pulled over, is yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And I got pulled over one time, only once, and in a galaxy far, far away, Brother Jack. And the officer come to the window, and I was, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And he said, I'm not an officer. I work for a living. I said, I appreciate that, officer, but my dad told me if I ever got pulled over to make certain I called you, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. So if it's okay with you, I'll still say yes, sir. Didn't get me out of the ticket, but he was kind to me, huh? Why? I got news for you. If I wouldn't have broke the law, he wouldn't have pulled me over. Wasn't his fault that I broke the law. Well, see, we got a problem with authority. Can I say that filters into the church? Well, who's the preacher think he is? Well, he's not better than anybody else. You're right, he's not. But God placed him in a position of authority. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about the man of God. Many believe the great apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and a lot of the writing sounds like Paul. We don't find the actual author given in the scriptures. I know who wrote it. The Holy Ghost wrote it, but he may have used Paul. And if so, chapter 13 and verse number 7 says this: "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Can I help you with something? It's God that places people in a position of authority, and throughout the scriptures, we're exhorted to give place to them that are over us, especially in the household of faith. Can I say, in Hebrews 13, it tells us to obey them that have the rule over you. In Hebrews 13, it says to submit to them that have the rule over you. In 1 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul says that the man of God who's spoken unto you the word of God is worthy of double honor. That means whatever you do for him, he's worth double that. And no matter how much respect is he is deserved, he's really worth double that. That's what the scriptures say. Brother Greg said it last week in revival meeting. He'd have to step down to become the president of the United States of America. But we find that this is nothing new. Throughout the scriptures, there's always been people who've stood in opposition to God's man. Can I say Moses? They murmured against him. Joshua, they questioned his authority. Even the great apostle Paul's authority was challenged. Some said they were of Apollos, and some said they were somebody else, and some said of Paul. Friend, if you're not of Jesus, you're in trouble. But even the Lord Jesus himself was disrespected and called of Belial. They called him a devil. Can I say, we find in each instance, God punished and made examples of those that stood against God's man, and often he destroyed them and put them in the grave. Paul is wanting folks to have the blessings of God, and that's why he mentions, again, like he does in about every one of his epistles, to give place and to deal with authority in the house of God by letting the man of God be the man of God. But then we find he also deals and exhorts Christians concerning their actions. And that's what we read in verses 14 through verse 23. Can I say your actions are important? I got a quote on my desk. It basically says this, Brother Rod: those who don't believe right won't behave right. Brother James, I've never seen anybody that believed the Bible right that they didn't act right. But when people start questioning the ultimate authority, the Word of God, their behavior's not going to be right. You can mark her down. Anytime you find a behavioral problem, it's because they have an authority problem. You mark her down. And when folks don't believe the Bible right, they won't behave right. I'm interested on this Thanksgiving Eve in verse number 18. It said, in everything give thanks. And I preached Sunday night on giving thanks unto God, but tonight I just want to preach on giving thanks. Giving thanks. And some of you have already done that tonight. But I got to thinking about some things we ought to give thanks for. Now, I know as we live and breathe and have our being here in 2021, they're trying to rewrite the history books. All the founders of the Constitution were racist, so therefore we no longer have to follow the Constitution. That's what they're pushing for. And if you're white and you shoot a white person, you're still racist. That's what they said up there in Wisconsin. Black Lives Matter was protesting that 17-year-old kid for defending his own life, and made a big stink of it. Even LeBron James made a big stink of it, and he shot two white men and wounded another white man. But he's a racist. The president called him a racist. You know, that's where we live today. People don't care about facts. They care about labels. Now they're attacking Thanksgiving because the white man was racist against the Native American Indian, and therefore Thanksgiving is a racist holiday. Go study history. Those pilgrims were going to die that winter. And the American Indians reached out to them and brought a feast to them and sustained them and helped them. And they gave thanks unto God for meeting their needs. Listen, I'm not the brightest light bulb in the bunch, but I remember having a Thanksgiving place at school where you had the Indians bringing the food to the pilgrims. I mean, it's not a racist thing. Listen, it was a love thing. It was a caring thing. The Native Americans felt for those folks who were dying and starving to death, and they were good to them. Unfortunately, a few years later, the white man wasn't good and back to them. That's why they're all out there on those reservations. You want to talk about people that have been discriminated against? Native American Indians have been more discriminated against than anybody in American history. You don't see them burning down cities. But we live in a day and age where everything is being rewritten. Zachary in college, ignore 90% of the things they're going to teach you. Just keep your Bible and deal with facts. Don't deal with garbage, deal with facts. You'll have to take garbage classes. Let go in one ear, out the other ear, get the grade, move on. All right? That's what we all had to do. Huh? I'm telling you, they're trying to rewrite history by doing away with history. One wise man said history repeats itself. That's why it's important to pay attention to history, so you can avoid some of the pitfalls. Was all the founding fathers of America great? No. But can I say she's still the greatest nation on the face of the earth? And outside your King James Bible, the U.S. Constitution's greatest document that has ever been pinned down. Are you listening? Other countries would die to have what we have. But see, just like Christians laying down their Bibles and laying down their prayer life, and it's allowed evil men and seducers to move in and tear away and erode churches, can I say, Americans have quit voting, quit making their voice known, and therefore these people are allowed to do these things. Now, I don't know why I'm on this. It's nowhere in my notes, but anyway, well, I'm here. I might as well just nail her down, huh? It's amazing what they were trying to teach in our school systems till parents started showing up to school board meetings. And all of a sudden, school board officials are being fired and parents are taking back over our schools. Why? Because their voice is being heard. If your voice doesn't matter, Brother Donald, why are they trying to silence you? It does matter. It's okay to stand up and say, we're not going to take anymore. The first Bill of Rights you have in the Constitution gives you the freedom of speech, the freedom to rightfully assemble. You're allowed to do things. You don't have to lay down and be a Nancy. You're welcome. Didn't cost you anything. We ought to be thankful for some things, whether it hair-lips the devil or not. Whether the world likes it or not, we ought to be thankful for some things. And first of all, we need to be thankful for the Lord Himself. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I love Him tonight. And I'm thankful that He's changed my life. We ought to be thankful for salvation. And several of you thank the Lord that you've been saved. You ought to be thankful you're saved. If you wasn't saved, you'd be headed to hell. If you wasn't saved, you'd still be wrapped up in your sin. What a blessing to be saved tonight. What a blessing to know you're saved tonight. You're not working for your salvation. You're not hoping to be saved. You know you've been saved because you met the Master. You ought to be thankful for that tonight. You ought to be thankful for His sacrifice that He went to Calvary and shed His blood for your sin. You ought to be thankful that He came from glory, took on a robe of flesh, and marched up Calvary's hill with that cross on His back, and paid for your sin and my sin. You ought to be thankful for that. Hey, you ought to be thankful for His supremacy. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. The Lord God Almighty reigneth. He is in control. You ought to be thankful He's in control. You say, preacher, if God's in control, why is America headed the way she's headed? Because she has to. America will never be part of a one-world government while America's strong. Why do you think we got mashed potato brains Biden in the White House and he's destroying and eroding all the very fabric of America? Because America's got to fall in order to buy into the one-world government. Good news. Before that happens, the Lord's coming back for His church and we'll be out of here. What a blessing. You ought to be thankful for the Lord.
The Bible says in Psalm 106 verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 34 says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalms 147, 7 says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. We ought to be thankful for the Lord himself. Can I say you ought to be thankful for life? Psalm 63, 4 says, this will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Lamentation 3, 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Acts 17, 38. For in him we live and move and have our being. You ought to be thankful for life. You know, it was him that gave you the strength to get out of bed. It's him that gave you the air for your lungs. It's him that causes your heart to beat and make your blood flow through your body. It's all about him. He is the one that gave you life, and he sustains your life. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful for liberty. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty with wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You've been set free. If the Son has set you free indeed. You ought to be thankful that you're not chained to your sins no more. You ought to be thankful you have the liberty to worship. You have the liberty to lift up your hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. In Afghanistan right now, if they pick up your phone, you find a VWAP, they shoot you. Or they behead you. Can I say that happens throughout the Middle East? We're blessed. Well, you come here tonight not worrying about stormtroopers running in with machine guns and shutting us down. You ought to be thankful for your liberty. Because the moment you get to taking it for granted, the moment you start losing it, you ought to be thankful. Can I say tonight, we ought to be thankful for our load. Yes. The load of benefits. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Ought to be thankful. What a blessing to be saved. But that was just the starting point. And then every day just loads us with benefits. He not only saved us, he gave us that peace. Brother Seth talked about. He gave us the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, meekness, temperance, goodness. I mean, he gave us all of that every day. We get that every day. His mercies are renewed. Are you listening? Every day he just gives you everything you need. What a benefit. You know, when you go to work for somebody, it's one thing to get a salary, and then they give you benefits on top of it. It's one thing to get saved, and then you get the benefits on top of it. And Brother Brian, we know this thing ends in glory. What a benefit. Ought to be thankful for our load. He loads us with benefits. He loads us with brightness. As we saw verse number 5, we're in the light. Our minds are illuminated to truth. We have the Lord and his truth on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? The brightness of being saved. You know, we tease all the time about looking around not seeing any halos. But the truth of the matter is, we all are in the light. And the only thing keeping us from being in glory and having that glorified body with him is his flesh. But we ought to be thankful for the load of brightness. But with that load comes responsibility. You can't be in the light and be in darkness at the same time. There's some people trying to straddle the fence. Don't work. It's black or white. There ain't no gray areas with God. But we also ought to be thankful for the load of our burdens. You know what burdens really do? Oh, they're not easy. And they weigh us down. And they trouble us. And they worry us. And they cause us anguish and sorrow and suffering. By the way, the Bible does say, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. But you know what the real blessing of burdens are? They cause us to depend on God. Yes. Right. Without burdens, you probably wouldn't pray.
Without burdens, you probably wouldn't read your Bible like you should. Without burdens, you wouldn't have a song in your heart to sing glory unto God. Without a burden, you wouldn't see how great He really is because He answers your prayers. You ought to be thankful for the burdens. Without the burdens, you'd just be a part of a cult. We ought to thank Him for our load. I thought about this. We ought to thank Him for our lot. You realize everything that befalls you is a lot from God. God allots that to your life. It didn't happen by accident. Didn't happen by mistake. Didn't happen by chance. Wasn't luck. It all came from the hand of God. Thought about this. We ought to be thankful for the lot of our ecclesiastical status. You know, it's only by the grace of God you're not in a religion instead of in a church tonight. It's only by the grace of God you do have the truth tonight. What if you was born in a Muslim country and that's all you knew? You ought to be thankful for your ecclesiastical status. You're in the right church. You've got the right Bible. You're in the right standing with God. You ought to be thankful for that ecclesiastical status tonight. You are in this world, but you're not of this world. You're not of the rudiments of this world. You're a child of God. You're in the family of God. You ought to be thankful for that tonight. You know, there are a lot of folks that will go to a lot of places called churches, and they think they're okay, but they're not. It's only by the grace of God you're not there tonight. You ought to thank God for the lot of your ecclesiastes. You ought to thank God that He put people in your life or put you in the family that He put you in or He allowed somebody to share the gospel with you. You ought to be thankful for all the course of events that transpired in order for you to get born again. Some of you had to get rock bottom before you could look to the Lord. You ought to be thankful for the lot that He put in your life to bring you to Him. Thought about this. We ought to thank God for our economic status. Say, well, I don't get to buy a new house like Miss Brandy or Brother Tommy or Miss Christina. You ought to be thankful you got a house. You could be living under a bridge tonight. You could be lined up at a free food bank tomorrow hoping to get some Thanksgiving dinner. You ought to be thankful for your economic status. And the blessing is, Miss Brandy and Brother Tony are going to have 30 years of payments on a house. 30 years. You're already old, brother. You're going to be in heaven before that's paid off. You know that, yeah, leave it for the Antichrist to pay it off, huh? You know, the truth of the matter is, and you all ain't even started building yet. You got the property. Wait till you see the price of lumber. Ask Ray what he cost to build a manger. You'll see it Sunday. I'm telling you, y'all better stay. But here's the reality, Brother Clint. Of course, we know you could live in Triple Crown if you want, but you're just content where God's placed you. I mean, you got more money than anybody in here. It's because you're not married, brother. You got every dollar you ever made, brother. What a blessing. That's a beautiful jacket because I gave it to you. You could go buy Macy's out. No, you just wait for me to get fat so you can get my stuff. I know what it is. You got it going on. I've been getting fat. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you do, don't you? Here's the truth of the matter. You know why some people don't have it, Miss Marcy? Because they wouldn't use it for the glory of God. That's it, Brother James. If God blessed you with a lot, we wouldn't see you till you ran out. God only blesses people with a lot He can trust. Go read Job. Job was the richest man in the East. God let Satan take it all away, and Job still blessed the Lord and worshiped God. So then God blessed him with 10 times as much. What I'm trying to tell you is, you ought to be thankful for the lot of your economic status because God knows whether or not you can handle it or not. You ought to be thankful. Huh? He knows what you can handle, what you can't. You think you know. He does know. You ought to be thankful for your environmental status. Huh? You ought to be thankful where you live. You ought to be thankful for the environment He's created around you, the group of friends and family that you have. You ought to be thankful. God's put all that together. Mm-mm. I don't know about you. I'll just talk about me. My best friends in the world are in this place tonight. They are. There's folks I have no doubt I could pick up the phone anytime and say, I need something, and you would be there for me. Those are my friends. I hope you know that about me. You ought to be thankful for your environmental status. God just didn't give you a bunch of folks to go to church with. He gave you a family. You ought to be thankful for that. And you ought to be thankful for your everlasting status. Say, I don't have much here. Well, just hang on, neighbor. We step off into glory, you're going to own it all. You're joint heirs to His throne. Hmm? Huh? Ought to be thankful for that. And I thought about this lastly. You ought to give thanks for your loved ones. Brother Darrell testifying about his dad and his dad's birthday. You ought to be thankful for those God had in your life that impacted you so much that have gone on, and those you still have in your life. You ought to be thankful for your loved ones. Thankful for my family. Be thankful. So many people don't have a family. I see it at funeral homes all the time. They say, now preacher, you got to be careful saying this because this side of the family don't agree with this side of the family. I see it all the time. Had a deal where I did that funeral here a couple weeks ago, and the birth parents gave the girl up for adoption, and the birth parents didn't want to be referred to as her actual parents. They wanted to be known as her friends. That's messed up. And the people that adopted her, that was one of the ladies in the casket, they didn't care if they was referred to as parents or not, but the parents didn't want to have anything to do with it. Y'all be thankful you got a family that's not ashamed of you. Hmm? You ought to be thankful for your family. Say, well, I got a bunch of rascals in my family. Well, they're still your family. And you was a rascal until you got born again. So what are you complaining about? Brother Clint's already prayed it. Many of you go see your family. You only see them certain times a year. You ought to be a light to them tomorrow. You ought to let them know you're thankful that they're part of your family. And you ought to let them know what a joy it is to be in the family of God. You might share some light tomorrow. You might impact them. You might be an encouragement to them. Because chances are they already know you're part of the family of God. You ought to be good to them. He said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything. When you're on the mountaintop or you're in the valley, He still deserves your thanksgiving and your praise. And if the only time you thank Him is one time a year, you got a lot of catching up to do. Because He's been good to you. I wonder, excuse me, do we give Him thanks in everything, or do we take some of those things and we complain about them? Some of the things you're praying for Him to remove might be the very thing He needs in your life to keep you where you are in Him. So why don't you just start thanking Him instead of complaining? Why don't you start praising Him instead of pouting? And why don't you start lifting Him up instead of tearing down? And you'll see the blessings beyond your comprehension. Let's all stand. Brother Clint, come get a song of invitation. Maybe you want to come and thank Him. Maybe you want to tell Him you love Him. Maybe He's put somebody in your heart and you want to go thank them. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love You.
Bless this invitation. Speak to hearts. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, head on over to ibcflorence.com and click on sermons. And don't forget to check out our other links in the notes section of today's broadcast. As always, thanks for listening.